I want to go back this evening to our text verses and to the subject that we looked at this morning. Those of you that were here this morning, I believe everybody that I see here this evening was here this morning, know that we begin a message on living without God in a world full of devils. And we looked at about three sections of Scripture as our text start off. And the point of them showed us that certainly there are a class of people that are without God in the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us, as the apostle put it, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope." And listen, he says, "and without God in the world." And then we read to you from Mark chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where Jesus casting out a devil out of a man who was so afflicted. And Jesus said unto the man in verse 8, "Come out of to the spirit, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And then the Bible tells us there that he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, the demon did, the devil did, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And I use that verse to point out that there are lots of devils in the world today. There was a legion of them in this poor man. And then in Mark 6:13, the Bible records that the disciples went out under the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they cast out many devils, that verse of Scripture says. Now, we went on from there to point out that there are many devils in the world, and that this world is a place of activity of devils doing all sorts of things amongst men and in the current world that we live in. And so, as we looked at the message this morning, we noted that demons worked amongst men and caused various problems with human beings and with circumstances that men have to deal with. And we pointed out that we weren't sure at what time Satan and his demons came to earth and began their work, but we knew that it was at least in place during the time that Adam and Eve were created, because the devil began at work at once with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, our first point that we got to cover this morning, we pointed out that man has a history of worshiping devils, and we pointed you to some Scripture that showed that in past ages, God accused the children of Israel of worshiping devils. And on up through history, we pointed out that Paul spoke about the Gentiles worshiping certain kinds of false gods. And he said that when they did sacrifice, they sacrificed to devils and not to God. And then we took you to the book of Revelation and pointed out that not only was it so in Adam and Eve's time, in the time of the children of Israel at least, and also in the time of the Apostle Paul, and certainly in the time of Jesus, because we have the biblical record of him casting out many devils. But as I took you to the book of Revelation, it was pointed out by the writings of Revelation that in the future, past the time that John wrote it, there would be devils in operation, and that they would do many things. And we noted in Revelation 9:20 that mankind is still neck deep in the worship of devils when God comes to bring the great judgment, which some folks call Armageddon, upon the world. And that verse of Scripture says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues," speaking of the plague that God had brought upon them, "yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils." So at the point of time that God deals with mankind in the end time hours, he still has a contention with human beings about worshiping devils. We begin then to look at characteristics of devils. And we got so far as to be able to point out as the first thing that devils have their own peculiar wisdom. And we took you to James chapter 3 and verse 15 and reminded you that the Apostle James, in writing about a certain dual behavior characteristics, certain double-minded standards of human beings, and certain deceptive behaviors of human beings, that James reminded us that these kinds of things were devilish, meaning that they were like devil's behavior. Now, this is where we left off this morning because we ran out of time. We want to continue this evening looking at characteristics of devils on earth. And we want to say that as we look at these characteristics, that we have to almost deduce by inference, by looking at what they're doing on earth. The first thing that I want us to notice after the fact that devils have their own peculiar wisdom is that there are times when devils afflict people, and the affliction exhibited by people who have some condition brought on by demons is identified as a condition of that particular devil that's doing the operation. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. And let's read a verse out of there. Luke 11, verse 14. Jesus was casting out a devil here in Luke, chapter 11. And as He was casting out the devil, some things were said that lead us to realize that when folks have certain kinds of afflictions that are demon-caused afflictions, that these afflictions are actually identified by the Bible as being afflictions that are characteristic of that particular demon or group of demons. Look in Luke 11:14. He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Now, you may say, well, the Bible says there it was dumb. Did it mean that they knew it was dumb because the man was dumb? Well, I don't know. The Holy Spirit caused the writing of this verse, and maybe the Holy Spirit knew something that we didn't. When we read on further in this verse, that we find out that when the devil was cast out, the person who was struck with dumbness was able to speak after that the casting out had occurred. So, it could be, but it's not necessarily so, that in every case where a demon has some kind of affliction going on with a person, that affliction will manifest the characteristic of the demon. At least in this case it was true, and we have reason to suspect it may be true in other cases. And that, brothers and sisters, may give you some insight into things going on in our world today in which there are inexplicable problems among human beings, things that are happening to people today that have no interpretation. Doctors can't discover what it is, or they can't seem to get to the root of the problem, but there's some kind of persistent problem that has a certain characteristic to it. And it may be that we have demonic activity going on in that person. And this could explain the persistence of the affliction suffered by people who have such afflictions, perhaps as a result of a demonic attack or demonic control. So, as a point of interest, afflictions exhibited by people who may be being influenced by demons are identified as the condition of the devil operating upon or within the person. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 4 for just a moment. Well, in fact, before we go there, let's go to, that's where we want to go. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we want to go to verse 41. And we want to read there something about devils. Now, we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking about and ministering, and we find that the devils are stirred up about it. They're uneasy about it. And they let that be known here in these verses. We find here in verse 41, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God, and he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Now, we find that the Lord Jesus is doing a great work here. And we may ask the question, well, in those days that Christ was walking upon the earth, was demonic possession or demonic affliction in a high level of concentration? Was there a great prevalence of it among the people of Israel? I don't know. We don't have something to measure it by today, so I don't know. It could be that the only reason so much limelight is shed upon these demons is because Christ's activity brought them to the forefront. It could be that in any society, in any part of history, there could be a great amount of significant demon activity, but there's no Savior present to bring it to the forefront. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we look at the condition of many of the populations of our earth, of our globe, we realize that we may be in the same sad condition concerning demonic activity as they were in Israel in the days of Christ. We may be in the same sad shape with demons everywhere. And as I pointed out at the beginning, I don't think any demons have gone off anywhere. I believe that they're still active on the earth, and it may be the same number that were around at the time that the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth. But we notice here that devils came out of many. But notice, the thing that I want you to notice is that they were coming out saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And that leads me to remind us all that devils know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't know Him just as somebody. They know Him as exactly what He is. "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." Now here's a peculiar thing. I just want to ask you to think about it. I'm not meaning to wander off and chase any rabbits. But don't you think it's just a little strange that demons know precisely who Jesus Christ is, and yet human beings that haven't got savvy nearly the level of a plain old devil deny that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God? That shows you, if you will, the depravity of the human condition. But devils know Christ, and they pointed that out when they testified of who He was. Jesus suffered them not to speak. He didn't want them shouting abroad who He was and making a big fanfare and a big issue. Next thing you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Herald would have a hold of it, and it would be published abroad throughout the whole world. And he didn't want that. For at least that reason, if not others, perhaps. Now, we find that I believe that this thing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is prevalent amongst demons in any period of time. You might say, well, Jesus was there on earth, so the demons could know who He was there on earth. But after He went back to heaven, or before He came to earth, maybe they didn't know Him. Yes, they did, and yes, they do. And they continue to know Him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We find an evil spirit confronting seven sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva in the book of Acts chapter 19. And this evil spirit, these seven sons were trying to do like Paul and others in casting out demons, and they adjured this demon to come out of a man in the name of Jesus Christ, and I apparently they used the name of Paul also, and the demon, the evil spirit, answered them in verse 15 of Acts 19 and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" So we find that Jesus was gone back to heaven. But this demon still knew exactly who Jesus was, and he knew who those seven sons of Sceva were referring to when they brought his name up. Now, I want us to just get a little extra blessing and encouragement and hope and faith this evening by looking at that verse again and thinking of another thing that this verse reveals to us. These are just demons. This is just a demon talking. He's speaking through that man that he possesses. And it's just a demon from the netherworld. He's from the world of the rebels against God. But he says something. He says, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know, and so on. I want you to notice that the demon's testimony is in the present tense. Now, this is after Jesus was crucified and buried, and a whole bunch of Jews made a really, really great effort to keep anybody from thinking that He resurrected. I mean, they did everything in their power. And in fact, Jesus did not reveal Himself to the whole world when He resurrected, but to those select believers in Christ did He reveal Himself, and that was them, and to them alone did He reveal Himself. And then He ascended up into heaven. But when we come to a day somewhat later, months if not years later, and here's these seven sons trying to cast out a demon, this demon says, Jesus, I know. That demon knew that Jesus was still alive. That demon knew where Jesus was, no doubt whatsoever, because the only way that he could use the present tense was to know that Jesus sat on the right hand of God in heaven. And so, here's something for us. Here's some confirmation of the resurrection. We don't need it because faith helps us to see with the eye that can see spiritual things. But this is kind of like an offhand confirmation of the surety of the resurrection of our Lord. That a demon operating in rebellion and contradiction to God knows, present tense, knows of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we also know that devils believe in God. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, James says this, Thou believest in God, or believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. So we find that devils have this character, that they believe in God. And you might say, well, they're at a little bit better advantage to believe in God than we are, because that at one time they were in the presence of God and they had been cast out. Well, that is true. But here again is another testimony from demons that ought to make us stand up and take notice and give us weaponry, if you will, brothers and sisters, to address and confront atheists and agnostics who will claim that there is no God. Now, they may claim that there are no devils either, but at any rate, if they claim that there's no God, we can remind them that devils believe that there is God, and remind them that devils believe that because they know it of a certainty. And we can remind them that whether they believe or not, devils know it to be true, and judgment awaits those who do not believe in God. Now, we also want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 4, verse 33, and look at something about the characteristic of demons. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. Let's begin at verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Here's Jesus going on his ministering way. And they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, for His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with Thee, Thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art Thou come to destroy us? I know Thee, that who Thou art, the Holy One of God. I want to focus your attention on the phrase that the demon says there, Art Thou come to destroy us? What do we see there in this particular statement of this demon? Well, I believe what we see is that this demon knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had power to destroy him. That's significant, because what we find out is that demons do know that Jesus has power to destroy them. Demons know that there is a time coming when they will be brought up for judgment. They will face this same Jesus, and they will be judged as wicked ones, as corruptors, as evil ones against God, as rebels against God, and in that they will be judged and cast into the lake of fire with the prince of devils. So we find that unclean spirits of devils do know that Jesus has power to destroy them. Now notice something else in this verse. We find here that the devil says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" Now, as far as I can tell, the Holy Spirit uses a singular here to identify that particular devil that's in that person. And so we're not dealing with a bunch of demons. We're not dealing as with the legion that possessed the man who lived in the tombs. But we're dealing with a single devil. But this single devil says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" I believe that we can be taught by this statement, by this devil in this poor man, that unclean spirits of devils consider themselves to be in league with the human that they possess. The human that they occupy, they consider to be in league with them in that relationship. Now this is an awful thing to contemplate, but it is a fact, apparently, of the demon-human relationship. When demons take it upon themselves, and believe me, they have to have permission for this, but they take it upon themselves to take possession of or to take over the life of an individual, they consider themselves to be in league with that person. And that puts that person in league with the devil. What have we to do with thee? Let us alone. I'd say that if we can look around humanity and look at the worst case scenario of a human being on the face of this globe, it would be a human being who was under the power and control of a demon, because he has in fact been brought into league with the devil against his own will. Because although there may be folks who will voluntarily sign a league with the devil, I believe that people like this man here were taken over despite any resistance they might put up. Were taken over and they were possessed and used by this unclean devil. And so, some of the poorest lot on the face of our planet are certainly those that are possessed and managed by a demon. Well, what other characteristics do we see that demons have? There are many. I can't cover them all. And like I said, a lot of what we look at has to be by inference. We make our conclusions by inference, knowing how demons have acted when they come in contact with people or when they act out amongst people. Now, as I suggested a few minutes ago, devils inhabiting the earth know that their time of activity is both permitted and dated. And by that I mean, they know that it is by permission that they are there, and that it is by permission that they continue in the state that they are in, the state of rebellion, the state of activity against God. They are permitted that to do that, and that that state that they are in has an end time, has an end date to it. In Matthew chapter 8, and verse 29, there was a case where the Lord Jesus Christ cast out demons, and the Bible says there, "Behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Before the time. Now what does he say there? They know that there is a time coming when they shall be cast into eternal torment. They know that their time on earth is limited. And so those demons that day were saying, What do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Before the cutoff date? Before it's all over? And so we know that a characteristic of devils is that they know, they are aware that their time of activity is permitted by the Lord and it's dated by the Lord. It has an end time to come. And we certainly look forward to that end time to come when God will call into judgment those that are out here afflicting mankind and working the wicked works of the devil. Now, let's go to the book of Luke chapter 8 again. And go to chapter 8. We want to read one verse from Luke chapter 8. And we want to notice something else about demons. And when you find chapter 8, stay there, because we're going to look in chapter 9 and connect these two portions of Scripture together. In Luke chapter 8, as we look in verse 29, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing exactly what we read about a few minutes ago when we made the point about Jesus limiting the time and activity of demons. And here, let's begin in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Now, keeping that thought in mind that we've looked at in those verses, flip right quickly to chapter 9, verse 42, and read something here that happens when Jesus casts out a devil. Verse 41, "And Jesus answered said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." This man's son had an evil spirit. And we find in verse 42, "And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father." Notice here in these two portions of Scripture that there are devils possessing people, and there is violence associated with their interaction with these two individuals. Now, what we learn from that and from what we've read here is certainly that victims of devils are helpless to keep from being snatched up and used by those devils that so use them. And if we go back in verse 29, we find that the verse says, "For oft times that demon had caught him," and this Greek phrase that was translated "caught him" has in it the suggestion of snatching, as it were, almost like reaching on the counter and grabbing a cup to use to drink some water out of. That's kind of the imagery that's given by the Greek word. And so we find that victims of devils are very often helpless to prevent being snatched up and used by them. We need to keep that in mind, because this reminds us each and every time that we think about it of what power demons certainly have. Now, we find also that these portions of Scripture teach us that victims of devils sometimes have seemingly supernatural strength. Notice that in verse 29, our demon possessed, it is said of them that they were kept bound with chains and in fetters, and this particular man broke the bands that he was kept bound with. How did he do that? You know that they weren't, those people that tied him up weren't ignorant of how to tie the man up to keep him held fast. He was bound with chains and fetters. And yet He broke chains. And He broke fetters. How did He do that? I believe it's safe to say that demons possess a supernatural power, and they can convey some of that to their subjects or their victims, as far as that human body can stand it, I would suppose, and use it that way. And so, victims of devils seemingly have a kind of supernatural energy. Now, I'll take you back to the experience of the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19, verse 16, and remind you that the Scripture tells us there that the man in whom the evil spirit was in leaped on them and overcame them, all seven of them, brothers and sisters, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. He ripped all their clothes off and beat them soundly. All seven of those men. Just one man possessed of an evil spirit. And so, victims of the devil certainly may from time to time have seemingly supernatural strength, and it must obviously come from those devils. Now, we find that this portion of Scripture also teaches us that victims of the devil are driven by the devils that either overpower and force them, or by the devils that actually possess them. I believe there's a level of demon abuse that does not go as far as possession, but that it directs or forces men into certain channels and causes them to do things and directs them to do things and empowers and entices them to do things. But I believe there's a demon possession in which that demons take over the affairs of the body, take over the behavior of the body, and may actually use the body as this demon did the possessed man with the seven sons of Sceva, in which that he used the man's body totally to prevail against those seven men. So victims of the devil then are driven by them. Up here in verse 29 where we read about this man who was possessed, the Bible says that he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Souls that are possessed of demons are driven, brothers and sisters, because there is a power that is at work against them that is greater than the human element power that exists in those individuals who are afflicted with this demon power that's overcame them. Now, as our last point, I ask a question. Are devils still around and at work? I think I answered that question at the beginning of the message, but I want to kind of review it again. The answer is yes, they are. The prophecy in Revelation that we read you tells us of a future time when the world's going to be deceived by Satan, and we have an explanation of how that deception is going to take place in Revelation 16:14. And in this verse, the Bible tells us, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." Who's doing that? Who is able to consolidate the hatred and the viciousness of these nations together? It is devils, spirits of devils, working miracles and going forth to the kings of the earth to gather them. The great deception will occur as a concerted effort of a legion, perhaps, of spirits of devils. Now, another futuristic view of human events gives us a statement about the present and the ongoing influence of demons on earth. And that's in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. And we find here that there was a cry made by an angel. And this cry goes like this. "He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So we know that as we look into the future in Revelation 18, the Bible is clear to say that there is a place, whatever that Babylon is, and you know that there's different controversies about what mystery Babylon represents, but whatever it represents, it will become a habitation of devils. So they are there, and apparently in number. So yes, devils are still around and still at work. And I want to leave us with this thought about the presence of devils still around. And it isn't Scripture. It's just some observations that you can make yourself. Today, in America, there are more than 57 million people, about 26.2% of our populace in America, that have a diagnosable mental disorder. Now, if you go back and read all that we've looked at in the Bible, you'll find out that evidently the presence and the oppression of demons influences mental things. And people can have mental aberrations, mental disorders, or complete and total mental insanities as a result of the work of demons. And I believe that demons are at work today in a greater than ever way to influence human beings everywhere. Influence their mental state. Influence their minds in such a way that they are not at ease. They are uneasy. They are disturbed. They think disturbed thoughts and follow disturbed mental patterns. And I believe that accounts for 57 million Americans, the greater part of which are disturbed by demons. You might say, well, Brother Myers, we've got Christian brothers and sisters that have mental disturbances. Yes, we do. And I believe that demons operant in the world have the capacity to affect God's people by their proximity. I believe that when demons can get in close proximity to God's people, they have the capacity to influence our state of mind. I'm not saying they get in there and wreak havoc. What I'm saying is that demons have force and they have power. And when their influences come within the sphere of our life and our habit patterns and our state and frame of mind, they have the capacity to influence us also. Another thing that gives us food for thought. Drug and alcohol abuse is rampant in America. There's nothing that weakens the human psyche more and makes it vulnerable to demonic influences than substance dependency. And if I were to guess, and I don't have to guess, who was behind this global effort to get the world on drugs, you know who I'd guess. And I believe the reason is, it's so much easier to influence, use, and move about a human being if they're under the influence of addiction, or better yet, under the influence of their shot in the arm for the day. And so, these are signs that we need to really think about when we think about demons on the earth. And one other thing, Satan-associated religions are rising dramatically on the earth. You can take a little tour in religions of the day on the internet. They provide a lot of information about it. And what you discover is that you find statements like this, that witchcraft religion, which is an offshoot of satanic worship, is one of the fastest growing religions. It is the fastest growing religion in America today. And so are many of the other satanic worships, satanic religions. They are growing rapidly. People are going to them in droves. What does this say about the presence of devils in the world. I believe that it says, brothers and sisters, they're still here. They're still operant. And you know, if those demons, and I pointed out that they do know this, if they know that they have only a limited time, I would think that as time got shorter and shorter, they would get more vehement, more active, more forceful. They would be they would be in an uproar to get influence humankind to work havoc upon the earth. And so demons work, but God controls. I want us to remember in closing tonight that yes, the prince of devils is here and does his work and guides his legions and directs them to do damage against the great gospel of our God and seeks every way he can to overthrow everything related to the Lord Jesus Christ. But our God has power to hold him at bay. And for us that are the saved of God, he has the special signet of the Holy Spirit of God, the special stamp upon us of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're safe in the arms of Christ. But brothers and sisters, be warned. We don't want to tinker with, we don't want to experiment with, and we don't want to go near things that are of a demonic nature. We want to stay away from them. We want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with them, because only He can. We don't have the power. And the proof that humankind does not have the power is in the thousands, if not millions, of people in the world today that are influenced in an awful way by the work of demons in the world.